ونحن نحيد المؤمن أستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد let me continue with الأصول الثلاثة the three principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last time we were only the second of the three initial treatises. We mentioned them before. The author begins with the main topic of the book, the actual three principles. He brings three initial treatises, each of them bringing some extremely important points, which is obligatory upon us to know and act upon. So last week we had another part of the second one, those three matters which are obligatory upon every Muslim male and female to know. Salaam alaikum. And we had the point which was Al-Wala wal-Bara. The Shaykh al-Fawzan gave the point Al-Wala wal-Bara. And the point was the third point أن من أطاع الرسول ووحد الله لا يجوز له موالاة من حرد الله رسوله ولو كان أقرب قريب. The third, that whoever obeys the messenger and singles out Allah, then it is not permissible for him to have موالاة, to love and ally himself with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they be those most closely related to Him. So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, hafidhahullah, that this is the matter of al-wala wal-bara, love and alliance, love and association, and disassociation. And as he said, this follows on from Tawheed and is from the rights of Tawheed. So then the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, as always, he mentions the evidence for this. In the section that comes today, he mentions the evidence for this point. So, on what occurs in this Lebanese edition on page 62, on the Egyptian edition, which many of you have, on page 48, that the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he said, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. الآية من سورة المجادلة. He said, and the proof, and the proof for that which came last time with regard to al-wala and al-bara, love and association and disassociation from those which are enmity to Allah and His Messenger. He said, and the proof is His saying, He the Most High. And he quotes an ayah from Surah Al-Mujadila, the 58th surah, ayah 22, with the explanation, you will not find a people who have iman, who truly believe in Allah and the last day, loving those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they are their fathers, or their sons, or their brothers, or their kinsfolk. Rather, Allah has ordained iman, true faith, for their hearts, and has strengthened them with strength from Him. And He will enter them into gardens which have rivers flowing beneath their trees. They shall remain forever therein. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. they are the party of Allah, indeed the party of Allah are the ones who will be successful. Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he said, explaining this ayah, and the whole of today's lesson will be Shaykh al-Fawzan's explanation of this ayah, that Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he said, his saying, He the Most High, La tajidu, meaning you will not find, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is an address to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, this will not happen, and it will never exist, that one who is a mu'min, one who is a true believer in Allah and His Messenger, will love the kuffar, will love the disbelievers. So if a person does love them, then he is not a mu'min. He is not a true believer, even if he claims to be. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes a fine saying from Ibn al-Qayyim in his famous poem. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, said in al-Kafiyat al-Shafiyah, in his famous poem with regard to Aqidah, Creed and Belief, al-Kafiyat al-Shafiyah, أتحب أعداء الحبيب وتدعي حبا له ما ذاك في إمكاني وكذا تعادي جاهدا أحبابه أين المحبة يا أخ الشيطان. He's saying, with the rough translation, do you love the enemies of the beloved one and still claim that you love him? That is not possible. And likewise, you strive hard to oppose those he loves. Where is the love, O brother of Satan? Shaykh Fawzan said, so this is not possible ever, that he loves the disbelievers. Meaning that a believer, a mu'min, one who truly believes in Allah and His Messenger, one who truly loves Allah, Shaykh Fawzan said, this is not possible ever, that he loves the disbelievers. Whilst he says, I love Allah and His Messenger. Then he gives evidence from the Book of Allah. He said, because of his saying, He the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. Surah Al-Mumtahana, the 60th Surah, Ayah 1. With the explanation, O you who believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies as friends and allies, for whom you have affection. He said, up until this saying, the fourth Ayah of the same Surah, Surah Al-Mumtahana, the 60th Surah, Ayah 4, meaning the first ayah, the second ayah, the third ayah, the fourth ayah. All of these being a proof in this matter. He said, up to his saying, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَعَاءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. The fourth ayah of the same surah, Surah Al-Mumtahana, with the explanation, there is for you a fine example in Ibrahim, in the Prophet Ibrahim, and those with him, when they said to their people, we are free of you, and of whatever you worship besides Allah. We have rejected you, and there has appeared between us and you enmity and hatred forever, until you truly believe in Allah and single Him out with all worship. Then Shaykh Fawzan was a second ayah as evidence of this point. He said, and he's saying, وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ. Surah Tawbah, the ninth surah, ayah 114. With the explanation, and Ibrahim's seeking forgiveness for his father was only because of a promise which he had made to him. So when it became clear to him that he was an enemy to Allah, then he dissociated himself from him. Indeed, Ibrahim is one who frequently supplicated to his Lord and who was forbearing. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is the millah, this is the religious way of Ibrahim. He dissociated himself from his father, the closest of the people to him, when it became clear to him that he was an enemy to Allah. And Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, pointing upon the main ayah of the text, he said, and the ayah shows that having love for an unbeliever, a kafir, negates iman, it negates true faith in Allah and in the last day. إِنَّا مَعَ أَصْلِهِ أَوْ مَعَ كَمَالِهِ. Either in its very origin or with regard to its completion. What does Shaykh mean by that? Is that someone has been loving an unbeliever, and either it negates iman altogether, so the person is not a believer, not a mu'min. And he will explain the detail in what follows. So either it means it negates the very root of it, there is no iman in that, the person is not a mu'min, not a believer, because he's doing that. Or secondly, that he will not be a complete believer, he will not be complete in his iman. But he said, let's repeat it, he said, the ayah shows that loving an unbeliever negates, contradicts iman in Allah and in the last day, either in its very origin or in its completion. However, if love of them has with it supporting what they are upon and their unbelief, then this is to exit from Islam. And that will be the first, that will demolish iman from its very root. The person does that he loves the unbelievers because of what they're upon. The Shaykh says, if he loves them, having with that supporting them upon what they are upon, and upon unbelief, supporting their unbelief, then this is to exit from Islam. But if it is just having love without aiding them, then this is counted as something which causes a person's iman to be deficient, and is fisq, counted as being fisq, open sin, and something which weakens iman. So he makes the distinction there. As a side point, and whoever can refer to the explanations of the Buddha Shayukh, because it's a very important point, this whole matter of wala and bara is important, and you'll find something in all of the explanations of the sheikhs on this point. As for Shaykh Saleh Ala Shaykh, and he makes a distinction here, he makes a distinction between having love for the unbelievers. He said, if a person has love, paraphrasing what he says, if a person has love in his heart for the unbeliever, or for the person of shirk, and love for what he's upon, or love that what the people of shirk should be are upon should overcome Islam and the like, then this means that a person is not a believer at all. A person is outside Islam for that. And the second case is that a person loves an unbeliever, not because of what he's upon. He doesn't love him because of his unbelief. He loves him for some worldly reason, for some reason of this world, or because that unbeliever is a close relative. Then this is a sin. This doesn't take the person outside Islam in and of itself, but is a sin. So Shaykh Salih al-Sheikh makes that distinction. Back to any other what Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, it is said that this ayah came down with regard to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he killed his father on the day of Badr, because his father was upon unbelief and he wanted to kill his son Abu Ubaidah, but Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu killed him because he was an enemy to Allah, and he was not prevented by the fact that it was his father. That did not prevent him from killing him out of anger for the sake of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued with the ayah, he said, his saying, he the Most High, أُولَٰئِكَ, with the meaning of the explanation, those ones. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning those who keep away from loving and having affection for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. And with regard to them, comes the continuation of the ayah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he's saying, he the Most High, كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ, with the explanation, he Allah wrote, or he Allah ordained iman for their hearts. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning Allah confirmed and firmly planted iman in their hearts. And he said, his saying, he the Most High, وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِنْهِ وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, the ayah, part of the ayah with the explanation, and he strengthened them with a ruh from him, and he will enter them into gardens beneath which rivers flow. So Shaykh al-Fawzan comments upon this first word, أَيَّدَهُمْ, that Allah the Most High gave them ta'yid. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, at-ta'yid means at-taqwiyah, means strengthening. He strengthened them. At-ta'yid means strengthening. He strengthened them with a ruh from him. In the first words here, the first two, actually the first three words of the ayah, وَإِيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ, and he strengthened them with a ruh from him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains the word ar-ruh. He said, the word ar-ruh has a number of different usages in the Qur'an. In this term ar-ruh, Allah in this ayah mentioned these believers, he mentioned he aided them with a ruh from himself. Shaykh al-Fawzan said this word ruh occurs in the Qur'an with different meanings. Then he mentions four different meanings for it. So he begins by saying, from them is a ruh, which is a nafs, which is the spirit, through which there is life. Ruh with the meaning of a nafs, meaning a spirit, through which there is life. And from them, and he mentions the second meaning which it occurs in the Qur'an, he said, and from them is al-wahi, that when ruh occurs with the meaning of al-wahi, revelation, as occurs in his saying, he the Most High, وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَرْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا, Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 52. With the explanation, and likewise, we send down my revelation to you, a revelation, a ruh, a revelation, by our command. By our command. This ayah referred to ruh, meaning revelation. And he mentions the third meaning which it occurs with. He said, and from them is Jibreel alayhi salam. This word Aruf can refer to Jibreel alayhi salam, that he is Ruhul Qudus, the pure spirit, and Aruhul Amin, the trustworthy spirit, the trustworthy Ruh. And Shaykh Razan quotes two ayahs to prove this. He said, he the Most High said, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ لِيُثَبِّتَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 102. The explanation, say, the pure spirit, in Jibreel, alayhi salam, say, the pure spirit brought it down, the Qur'an brought it down of your Lord in truth, to make those who believe firm, and as guidance and as good news for the Muslims, for those who submit to Allah's commands. Of course, a further ayah, he said, and here the Most High said, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ Surah Al-Shu'ara, the 26th Surah, Ayah 193. With the explanation, the trustworthy spirit, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, descended with it, with the Qur'an. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan quotes the fourth meaning of Ruh, as it occurs in the Qur'an, he said, and from that is what occurs in this ayah. What occurs in the ayah here that we have in the main text, Surah Al-Mujadilah, that the Ruh that's referred to here is with the fourth meaning. And it is Al-Quwwah, strength, and it is strength. And so, in this ayah, what is meant here, Allah the Most High mentioned, وَإِن يَدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِنْهِ Allah the Most High aids the believers with رُوحٍ مِنْهِ, meaning with strength, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning with strength from Him, He the Perfect and Most High. Strength of Iman, strength of true faith in the world and in the hereafter, وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ And He will enter them with meaning, and He will enter them into gardens. In this world, Allah the Most High strengthen the believers with the strength of Iman, and with regard to the hereafter, فَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ And He will mean, and He will enter them into gardens. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this word Jannat is the plural of Jannah. And the Jannah in the language, as the one the word Jannah, in the language it means a garden. It is called a Jannah. A garden is called a Jannah because it is mujtamun bil ashjar, because it is hidden or concealed by trees, meaning hidden and covered by intertwined trees, trees which grow into each other. How was the Shaykh Fawzan giving the language meaning there? The meaning of Jannah, the same root of the word jinn comes from, with the root meaning of that which is hidden and concealed. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, because Jannah, paradise, contains shade and trees and rivers and palaces, and its highest part and its ceiling is the Arsh, is the throne of the Most Merciful, the Perfect and Most High. And Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, he's saying, He the Most High, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا Part of the ayah of the explanation, rivers flow, with rivers flowing beneath it, they will remain therein forever. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning they will remain in it and will not move away from it. In the believers in Jannah, they will remain in it and they will not move away from it. He the Most High said, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَالًا Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th Surah, Ayah 108, with the explanation, they will not want to move away from it. The people of paradise, the people of Jannah, they will not want to move away from it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they will not fear death, and they will not have to fear anyone forcing them out or evicting them, as occurs in this world. A person in this world may live in palaces, however, he's not secure from death, so that he has to depart from them. Nor is he secure from enemies overcoming him and expelling him. A person in this world is always fearful. And he said, he's saying he the Most High, radiallahu anhu wa radiallahu anhu, according to the ayah of the meaning, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, since they angered their close relatives who were unbelievers and had enmity towards them, so therefore Allah bestowed pleasure from him, He the Perfect and Most High, as a recompense for them. So they will be given as a replacement for their having angered their close relatives who are unbelievers. They will receive in replacement the pleasure of Allah the Perfect and Most High. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah will be pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. And he said, his saying, He the Most High, Ulaika Hizbullah, part of the ayah of the explanation, they are the party of Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning the group of people for Allah. And as for the unbelievers, as for the disbelievers, the kuffar, then they are the Hizb al-Shaytan. They are the party of Satan. Just as Allah the Most High said about them, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The ayah from Surah Al-Mujadila, the 58th surah, ayah 19, with regard to the unbelievers, the meaning they are the party of Satan. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning the group of people for Satan, and the helpers of Satan. As for those people, meaning the believers referred to in this ayah, as for those people, then they are the supporters of the Lord. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan summarized by saying, so this matter relates to having enmity towards the disbelievers and not having muwalat for them and not having love and alliance for them. Then he makes a very important point, and it does not necessitate that we cut off from the disbelievers in social matters and matters of worldly benefit. Rather, a number of affairs are an exception to that. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes nine matters, which is what remains in his book, nine matters which are an exception. In the fact that we do not have love and alliance for the disbelievers, we do not have love and alliance for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, that point being established, that we rather have enmity towards them, this does not mean total cut off with no sort of no exception, or no point remaining. Shaykh said, rather there are nine points of exception to this. Matters of social matters and worldly benefits. Then he mentions these nine matters. He said, rather a number of affairs are an exception to that. The first one is that along with our hatred of them and our enmity to them, then it is obligatory that we call them to Allah the Perfect and Most High. It is obligatory, wajib, that we call them to Allah and we do not leave them and just say they are enemies of Allah and our enemies. It is a victory upon us that we call them to Allah, so perhaps Allah may guide them. And if they do not respond, then we fight them along with the ability. Once again, just a side point here, in case one misunderstands what Shaykh Fawzan is saying. When he says we fight them, doesn't mean individually or Shaykh Fawzan, as he makes clear in other works, what he means is the Muslims united under the Muslim ruler, they fight against the unbelievers. The army of the Muslims under the Muslim ruler, they fight with the ability to do so. So let not anyone misunderstand what the Shaykh is saying. So the Shaykh said, so if they do not respond, then we fight them in accordance with ability. So either then they will enter into Islam, or they will pay the jizya. They will pay this jizya that is given to the Muslims, this amount of money that's given over to the Muslims. If they are from the Jews and Christians or the Magians, whilst they are humbled, they are in a situation of being humbled and submitting to the rule of Islam, and they are then left upon what they are upon. You know, unbelievers, when the Muslim army fights against the unbelievers, then they submit, and they can pay, if they want to live in the Muslim land, then they can pay the jizya tax and remain as they are, Jews or Christians or Muslims, with that condition, that they hand over, they pay the jizya to the Muslims. They're in a situation that they're humble, they're not the ones who are uppermost, they're humble, and they submit to the rule of Islam. Then the Shaykh said, in that case, then they are left upon what they are upon. However, with the condition that the jizya, this tax that is upon them, this money that is upon them, that they have to pay to the Muslims, however, with the condition that the jizya is handed over, and that they submit to the rule of Islam. However, if they are not people of the two books and they are not Magians, then there is disagreement between the scholars about taking jizya from them. And the point that Shaykh Fawzan is making here at the end, that's the end of the first point, he mentioned the first exception. What he means, what the Shaykh is saying, is that as for when Muslims fight against the unbelievers, if those unbelievers are Jews or Christians or Magians, then jizya can be taken from them. If they submit, the Muslims overcome them, they agree to pay jizya to the Muslims with the conditions, then they can live in the Muslim land upon their religion and remain upon their religion. If they are not Jews or Christians or Magians, then there's a difference between the scholars about whether they get the same concession or not. Can they live under the Muslim rule and pay jizya or not? And as a quick side point, then Ibn Qayyim mentions in Zadul Ma'ad, volume 3, page 153-154, that there are two sayings in that regard. The first saying is that the jizya is only taken from Jews, Christians and Magians. Nobody else, no other religions will it be taken from. And he mentioned that is the saying of Imam al-Shafi'i and one saying of Imam Ahmad. And the second saying was that the jizya can be taken from any from Jews, Christians, and Magians, and any other religion. If they agree to pay it, anybody else can pay it. Any other religion. And that was the saying of Abu Hanifa, and another saying of Imam Ahmad. And that second saying was preferred by Ibn Qayyim. Wallahu a'lam. We put evidences from the hadith for that, and the reason behind it. Wallahu a'lam. Back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned is that he said in his explanation, he brings the second matter, which is an exception, which is a matter we've got our dealings with the unbelievers. He said, secondly, there is nothing to prevent having a truce of temporary peace agreement. There is nothing to prevent having a truce with the unbelievers when there is a need. If the Muslims have need of it, if Muslims have a need of a truce because of the fact that the Muslims are not able to fight against them, and there is fear for the Muslims from their evil, then there is no harm in having a truce until the Muslims become strong enough to fight them. Or if they request a truce, then the Shaykh quotes the ayah, part of the ayah, وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, ayah 61, to the explanation. And if they incline towards peace, then you incline to it. Shaykh Fawzan said, then a truce is made with them. However, it will be a truce which is, it will not be a perpetual truce. You will love us forevermore. It will not be. It will not be a perpetual truce, rather a temporary peace with a time limit, in accordance with the view of the ruler of the Muslims regarding what is beneficial. So that's the second matter, having a truce with the unbelievers. That is permissible as well. As much as the third matter. He said, thirdly, there is nothing to prevent returning their fine treatment if they treat the Muslims well, and treating them in return in a good manner. There's nothing to prevent returning their fine treatment if they treat the Muslims well. There is nothing to prevent returning their fine treatment. He said, Allah the Most High said, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ Surah Al-Mumtahana, the 60th Surah, Ayah 8, with the explanation, Allah does not forbid you from those who do not fight against you with regard to religion, and who do not expel you from your homes, from treating them well and treating them with justice. Allah loves those who treat the people justly. Then Shaykh Fawzan puts the fourth matter. He said, fourthly, Al-Walidul Kafir, the father who is a disbeliever. The father who is a disbeliever, it is obligatory upon his son. This can refer to father or mother, son or daughter either. So the Shaykh said, the father who is a disbeliever, it is obligatory upon his son, who is Muslim, to treat him well. However, he should not obey him with regard to unbelief. Because of his saying, be the Most High, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي أَعْمَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَى أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ Surah Luqman, the 31st Surah, Ayahs 14 to 15, with the explanation, and we commanded man to treat his parents well. His mother bore him in a state of weakness and hardship, upon weakness and hardship, and his weaning was in 2 years. We enjoined him to give thanks to me and to your parents. To me is your return. And if they strive to make you associate something along with me, that which you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them, but live along with them in this world in a good manner, and follow the path of those who turn to me. Shaykh Fawzan said, the parent has a right, even if he is an unbeliever. However, you should not love him with love of the heart. You can treat him fine and fine without outward treatment, Shaykh said, but you should not have love of the heart for him. Rather, you recompense him for having brought you up, and that he is your father. Well, the Shaykh said, well, you recompense him for having brought you up, and for the fact that he is a a father, and he has a right. So you recompense him for that. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned the fifth matter. He said, having mutual business dealings, something else is permissible with regard to the Muslims and the unbelievers, having mutual business dealings with them, and buying from them, buying needs from them, and importing goods and weapons from them, by paying their price, there is no harm in that. And the Prophet ﷺ used to have dealings with the disbelievers. Likewise, he ﷺ dealt with the people of Khaybar, and they were Jews, upon the basis that they would farm the land in exchange for a part of its produce. This is not from al-muwalat wal-muhabba. This is not from alliance and love. All of these things I mentioned here, these are not counted, if a person does any of these things, these nine matters, this is not counted as having love and alliance for the unbelievers. So the Shaykh said, this is not from alliance and love. Rather, it is affairs of mutual benefit. It is obligatory that we are aware of these matters, and that they do not enter into al-muwalat. They do not enter into love and alliance, and are not something prohibited. Then Shaykh said, and likewise taking a loan from them. The Prophet ﷺ took some food from a Jew as a debt, and he left his coat of armour as a surety with him. And he ﷺ died, and his coat of armour was left as a surety with the Jew for some food which he bought for his family. And there is nothing to prevent this, because these are worldly matters and matters of welfare. And it does not indicate al-muhabba wal-muwadda, and this does not indicate love and affection in the hearts. So we must differentiate between this and this. Because there are some people who, when he hears the texts of enmity towards the unbelievers and not loving them, then he may understand them, that he cannot have any dealings with them and cannot have any connection whatsoever with them at all, and that there is to be a total cut off from them. No. This is something limited by rulings and limits. This is something limited by rulings and limits and conditions which are well known with the people of knowledge, which are taken from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions the sixth matter of dealings with the unbelievers, which is not counted as mu'alat, not counted as having love and alliance to them. The Shaykh said, Allah has permitted marriage to the women of the people of the Book, with the condition that they are chaste with regard to their honour and dignity. And Allah has made it permissible for us to eat the meat slaughtered by them. And the seventh matter, he said, the seventh is that there is no harm in responding to their invitations and eating their food, which is permissible, just as the Prophet ﷺ did. And eighthly, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, eighthly is treating neighbours who are disbelievers well, treating them well, because they have the right of being neighbours. And then ninthly, he mentions the last one, ninthly, it is not permissible to wrong or oppress them. The unbelievers in general, even though we have the enmity towards them, which I've made the point, ninthly, it is not permissible to do wrong, to wrong or oppress them. He the Most High said, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَعَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُوا لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 8. with the explanation, and let not hatred of a people prevent you from treating them justly. Do justice. It is closer to dutifulness to Allah. It is closer to taqwa. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, Ayah 8. That's why Shaykh Rawzan ends the explanation of that point. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as I indicated before, then whoever's able to get hold of other explanations because of the extreme importance of this point, and refer to other explanations if you can. For example, the explanation of Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabiri, hafidhahullah, he brings some very important points on this much as well. He brings the point of disassociation from the unbelievers, and disassociation from those who have enmity towards Allah, and that it covers the unbeliever, it covers the people of innovation as well. Of course, it covers the people of innovation. And then he breaks that down, the people of innovation, they get the different levels. Innovation, which amounts to kufr, which amounts to unbelief. And he gives the example of the bid'ah of the Jahmiyyah and the Rafidah Shia. Then those people are unbelievers, and we treat them as unbelievers. Then he mentions the second level is a bid'ah, an evil bid'ah, heretical beliefs, or beliefs of the innovators, and then she breaks it down and we treat them in the next level, and then innovation, which is an innovative practice which does not make a person a fasiq. So he breaks that in. Well, can refer to that in the book being translated. Well, can refer to that, and we refer to that as well. And there's a reminder that there are the points are put together on the internet, and footnotes, beneficial footnotes are put for these lessons on the internet by the brother Jazakallah Khairan. So I strongly advise that you refer to that in this matter and in the rest of the lessons. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? As for the meat of the people of the book, then by the book of Allah, the meat of the people of the book is lawful. Some of the scholars, such as Shaykh Fawzan himself, they make it a condition that they need to mention Allah's name upon it. Some of the scholars, such as Shaykh Fawzan, they make it a condition that the people of the book need to mention Allah's name when slaughtering.
But do you know how they slaughter?
Yeah.
They, no? First they shoot it to the head first. They kill it first. They butcher it.
By the regulations, yeah. If you read the regulations, they're not allowed to kill it. If by accident something, by their regulations, they're not allowed to kill. It has to stun, but not kill. That's why they cut the throat and the blood flows, because it's still alive. By their regulations, Allah Almighty.
I know that they shoot him in his head first.
They shoot in the head, head out.
They cut his neck.
By their conditions, the shooting is not allowed to kill.
Yeah.
It has to stun. It has to be still alive, then they cut the throat. Otherwise, if it's dead, the blood will flow. Allah Almighty. Some of the people of knowledge, with regard to the meeting of the people of books, some of the people of knowledge, such as Shaykh al-Fawzan, they make it a condition that the Jews or Christians have to mention Allah's name to make it local for us. Some of the people of knowledge make that condition. Some of them don't make that condition. Allah wants them. No. I mean, some of the people of knowledge hold that there's an exception for the Jews and Christians, for the people of the book. They are accepted. Allah wants.
For somebody, for example, who married a woman from the people of the book, and he didn't know the condition of chastity, and then he came to know it afterwards, can he still marry with her, or do he have to divorce her?
That's for questions, ask the shuyukh, inshallah. Ask the deeper knowledge. Allah, I'm just translating. Allah, questions, ask the deeper knowledge. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك
Sorry. With regards to the rights of the parents, like for to consider a person's father is an unbeliever. So, is it that apart from the things which he commands, which is prohibition to the Sharia, none of the prohibition. So, apart from those, like the other matters of obedience, you need to have to obey other things. Like for
general responsibility. Except what comes to mind is some of these chefs make a point. In those things, it's lawful for them to order. For example, within their rights to order. I mentioned, for example, ordering you to marry this woman or don't marry this woman. Even a Muslim father said it's not in his right to order you to marry this woman, don't marry this woman. An unbelieving father. So these are tricky stuff. These are things that the chefs need to be asked about when they come along with the cook. These matters. Unbelieving parents, unbelieving society, and what have you been like. You never think to ask these questions. These questions, a specific question, should be asked.
Yeah. I just want to see, Chef Fozan, so what I said that you can't love, for example, your father if he's cut by your heart, you see? And that's something I always wanted to know because you see with the Prophet and his uncle, Allah says that you can guide who you love, and he was a kafir. So how can you, what means to love in this case?
As far as I know, you can't guide those who you love should be guided. Look for guidance. Okay. You look for guidance for them. The fact that you look for guidance for them doesn't mean that Allah will guide them.
Okay, right. So it's not that he loves him.
He loves him.
No.
That's why I call from Tafsir that I have Tafsir properly.
Yeah.
Allah Allah.
Like, I remember hearing in one of the Sheikh's lectures, I don't know which Sheikh, but he said that this proves that Rasulullah loved him and Allah commanded him for something.
So, one time I heard that.